Okay, so usually I talk a little bit about what's happening when we breathe, like why do we breathe, and how it can be such a very fascinating object of awareness and a really good way of helping us come into the body and a very good way of getting a sense of how everything's changing in the body because the breath is flowing and in a way our bodies are flowing. We just don't feel that most of the time, but everything's changing in our bodies in the same way. And of course, when we've got discomfort, we're resisting that and kind of fixing it with our mind and turning it into the enemy. But if we can rest with the breath and rest and flow, then that can dissolve away to some extent. Yeah. People don't need to know medically complicated things. They just need to understand, well, why is it that we breathe? You know, what's the sort of point of it? And essentially, breath is a delivery system. And I always say this is one of the sort of design faults from my, if I just look at the body from the, as if I was a Martian who landed on this earth, I think that's weird, that the source of fuel for all the billions of cells in the body lies outside the body. That's a strange way of doing it, because we need to extract air to get oxygen into the cells, which is a fuel, and we need to extract food to get nourishment to the cells. So we have to eat to get the food in. And breathing is essentially a way of extracting oxygen from the air all around us and delivering it to the cells in the body. Yeah. And then the out-breath is a way of getting rid of carbon dioxide, which is a waste product. Yeah. And this image of flow, I think it'd be quite interesting to just reflect for a moment how we're surrounded by air. It's amazing, isn't it? Because we never ever really think about that, because we can't see it and it's invisible and we take it for granted, but all the time we're surrounded by air that's a bit like a fluid. It's a bit like, you know, we're swimming around in air and we're just borrowing some of that for a moment or two and then we're giving back the waste product. And of course, plants do it the other way around. They take in carbon dioxide and give back oxygen. So even that's amazing that we've got this sort of harmony on the planet where we're sort of giving and receiving between us and plants and animals and everything. So the physiology is such that there's some kind of mechanism in the brain that's monitoring our blood gases, and at a certain point there's a trigger, it's time for more oxygen. Yeah. So that triggers muscular activity, and the main muscle is the big diaphragm that sits up at the top of the abdomen and beneath the chest. So it's shaped something like this. So a good metaphor is a parachute. I think parachute's the best. You can think of an inverted bowl or an umbrella, but they're a bit rigid, aren't they, as an image? Whereas parachute's made of silk, so it's got this kind of mobility to it. So there's the beginning of the in-breath. The diaphragm begins to broaden and flatten down inside the body. Yeah, that's the kind of main muscular activity. And that causes a partial vacuum in the chest where the air pressure inside the chest is lower than the air pressure outside. Because nature's always looking for balance, that means the air from outside just pours into the lungs. Very important point for people to understand that you don't need to breathe with effort like that when you're just in a resting position, if you allow the diaphragm to move freely. Of course, then the ribs expand and the lungs fill with the air. Oxygen dissolves into the blood and gets delivered around to the cells using the circulatory system. Carbon dioxide gets delivered into the blood at the cells and then carried back to the lungs. And in the out-breath, this relaxes back up inside the up in the body to its concave. Is that correct? I always get convex and concave mixed up. Yeah, this shape anyway, like the parachute. Air pressure inside the chest is now higher than the air pressure outside. Air pours out. So that's the main thing people need to know, that the most important muscle is the diaphragm, and to let the diaphragm move freely, which of course many of us don't. Probably most people don't let the diaphragm move freely. If you've got anxiety, stomach's tight, poor little diaphragms, you know, can't do it. If you've got some kind of issue with having a fat tummy, hold it in. Often if you've got back pain, you just don't want to be in that part of the body. so the diaphragm gets restricted. So it does this something like 22,000 times a day. It's like the heart, but it never tires. It's just designed to have this movement. When we restrict the diaphragm, other muscles have to take over, because clearly we need to breathe or else we die very quickly. So other muscles take over that tend to be higher in the body, like the upper ribs around the shoulders and the neck, and you start to breathe like this. Obviously this is exaggerating, but it's this kind of movement. Does this look comfortable? Probably some people are doing this all the time without knowing it, and then they wonder why they've got headaches and neck pain and other things. So, you know, we do have ways of keeping ourselves alive, even if we've got an inhibited diaphragm, but it's not going to be very efficient, and it's certainly not going to be energizing. It's going to be fatiguing. So when the diaphragm moves down, it's pushing down on all the organs in your tummy, so they need to go somewhere. Yeah. One of the really remarkable things about the body's design is that all this area is soft. There's no bony covering here, which means that it's all quite elastic and pliable. So when the diaphragm pushes down, the guts are able to move outwards. So that's why when we breathe in, the belly swells. And then as the diaphragm releases back up, the guts can drop back in again. Yeah. So it's important that we do allow our belly to swell a little bit on the in-breath and subside a little bit on the out-breath. Yeah. It's not the air going into the tummy, it's the guts being massaged, which is another nice way of looking at it. And it's sometimes called squeeze and soak. So you imagine you've got a sponge in a sink full of water. You squeeze it, the water goes out, you release, and all the water floods back in. So that's a bit what's happening with your guts if you allow the diaphragm to move freely. All your organs are getting a jolly good squeeze and soak, which is going to be really good for you, good for your digestion. So sometimes things like irritable bowel, these kind of things can settle down if people, you know, allow their breath to do what it knows. We know how to breathe sort of innately, so get out of our own way in terms of interfering with the breath and let it do its thing. So that's one of the diaphragms we're going to be investigating in the meditation or the inquiry. There's two other diaphragms which are involved with the breath, which are very important. So diaphragm means a membrane between two spaces. Yeah. So this is the membrane between your abdominal cavity and your chest cavity. And there's a pelvic diaphragm, which is between the space inside the body and the space outside the body. And it goes both that way and front to back. Obviously, we've got quite a lot of muscles in this area holding everything in place. And it's in the pelvic floor, which you can get a sense of as being a diamond shape if you're sitting upright like this, where you've got your pubic area at the front, your anus at the back, and the sitting bones, the bony tips and the buttocks at the sides. So you've got this diamond shape. And within the diamond, it's soft tissue. So it's got a lot of bones in the pelvis, but within this diamond, you've got the possibility of movement. If you're breathing optimally and doing whole body breathing, on the in-breath, there's a very subtle broadening and opening. And on the out-breath, there's a toning. Now, it's not muscular in the sense of an active movement. You're not doing this in the pelvic floor. It's more an echo. So you've got this big movement, and that creates a kind of echo in the pelvic floor. So it's a bit like a kind of ocean swell. Yeah. So you can feel it as a receptive movement in the body. Very subtle. So we're going to be playing around with that when we do the inquiry. The other area is called the vocal diaphragm, which is, as far as I can tell, at the back of the mouth, around the glottis area, top of the windpipe, back of the mouth. And if we're breathing optimally, this area opens a little bit on the in-breath and then comes back together on the out-breath. Yeah. You won't feel it like that, obviously. It's quite difficult to feel, but you can get a sense of it by imagining you're going to give a talk to 1,000 people on national television. And just imagine what would happen to your body and in this area. Now, if I was going to do that, I'd start talking like this. Yeah, can you hear that? Can you hear how my voice has changed? And I've basically blocked at this area. I'm still breathing, clearly, but it's not that, it's not a lovely full body breathing. It's very restricted. Now, of course, some people live like this all the time. They're just continually blocked in this area. As we'll discover when we do the inquiry, that will affect your whole body. So if you open in that area, your voice drops deeper. It's quite a different tone to your voice and your whole body's softer again. Yeah, and I think people have got discomfort in the body, don't want to be in the body. You know, we can get quite strangulated up in this area. And we've had people who have discovered their back pain is caused by whole, you know, gripping in this area. So these diaphragms are important. And the other thing we're going to investigate is back breathing. So the back is actually very involved in the breath. And people often don't have a clue about this. They think, you say, where do you breathe? And they say here. They just think it's the lungs. But if you think about it, the ribs are as much in the back as the front. The lungs are as much in the back as the front. So people could easily say, oh, here, this is where I'm breathing. But nobody would do that, would they? It's interesting. I think it's probably because our main sensing organs are facing forwards. So we're kind of oriented to the front. So we pay more attention to the front of the body. But the back's very active in breathing. And the main diaphragm's got these two attachments right down to the lower lumbar vertebrae. So every time your diaphragm's moving, your back's being kind of rocked. There's a sort of echo in the spine. Your diaphragm attaches to the vertebrae at the back. Your ribs obviously attach to the vertebrae at the back. So there's a lot going on in the back. And it's said that back breathing stimulates the parasympathetic part of the nervous system, which is to do with calming. So if we can drop into the back with our breath, that will be naturally calming. And again, logically that makes sense to me, because when one's stressed, we tend to be, you know, rushing ahead of ourselves. And you can't really be out there and in your back at the same time. So as soon as you come into your back, you've dragged your awareness back from this future-oriented anxiety to simple sensation in the body. And then you're going to be present and a little bit calmer, and all the kind of stress hormones will be calming down a wee bit. Okay, so we're going to do an inquiry which is going to involve a little bit of contracting and releasing in the three diaphragms, and then moving on to full body breathing. So we do the contracting and releasing because quite a lot of people don't really know if their diaphragm's moving freely or not. All you know is what you're familiar with. So you could have someone who's, you know, got a little movement, and you say, do you think you're relaxed in your diaphragm? And they say, oh yeah, I'm really relaxed. But if you do, I'm going to ask you to draw in the tummy and hold it for a moment or two, and then to release. So you're learning what it feels like to be constricted and then released, and then you can find your own natural rhythm. Same in the pelvic diaphragm, I'll ask you to draw up as if you're stopping yourself passing water and passing wind, and then to release. And the vocal diaphragm, I'll ask you to imagine what it would feel like if you were talking like this because you were really anxious and nervous, and then to release. Okay. Please take responsibility for your own body. I don't know a lot of your health conditions. If you've got any health condition where it's not appropriate to release fully in these areas, then please take that in mind, bear that in mind. Clearly, if someone's got continence issues, for example, they need to be aware of that in the pelvic floor. If you've got something going on in your tummy that I don't know about. So just do what's appropriate for you with your body. You can do it sitting or lying. If you do it sitting, you can get more of a sense of back breathing, because obviously when you're lying down, your back's restricted. But if you've got discomfort and you're going to be tense sitting up, then I'd suggest you lie down. Yeah. If you're feeling really sleepy, I suggest you sit up. So it's up to you, really. I'll lead it in a way that will be appropriate for either category.